traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Welcome to the International Equine Network of Equestrians. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida, Palm Beach Downs, and Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village. We're going to have a great show today. I'm all excited. Everybody's excited. Kentucky Derby is around, and that's what we're going to be focusing on for the next couple of weeks here. We got a lot of things that will be going on that you can come to the website and see. For example, tomorrow morning, we're going to start having live coverage from Churchill Downs on the Morning Work Show. That'll be starting on April the 20th. Then we have live racing from Keeneland today and tomorrow and Sunday. That's on the website. You can go to it and look at. We got live racing from Oaklawn Park. We got live racing from Tampa Bay Downs. And we got live coverage of the Ocala Breeder Sales 2-year-old and training sale. And it's going to be a great week, you know, for us here coming up in the next week. We've got so many Derby things that are going on. You can catch it on our live shows on the website, IENTV.org. It's really going to be a good week, I think. And what's exciting about this time of year is everybody's starting to get together, you know, for all their summer programs. The spring programs are starting it all off, and then we got summer programs, and then we get into the fall programs. So it's an exciting time for the horse industry and all breeds. We've got the show horses that are coming up. We got the standard bred horses that are coming up. You name it, we've got it, you know, on there. And speaking of show horses, in Lexington today, we have the Rolex. It starts off in Rolex. They're all getting ready and training and warming up. And what I like about Lexington, you go to the horse park there where they hold the Rolex 3-day event. And you can actually get out on the course, and you can go to the stadium, and you can go to the arenas, and you can watch all the horses, the dressage, the Grand Prix jumpers, and the cross-country horses. And that's what I like about the Kentucky Horse Park. They got a little bit of everything there. You know, when you go, you can go to the museum that they have. They ask all kinds of questions. They literally have every breed of horse at the Kentucky Horse Park that they have on display, and they can tell you all about it. When you go there, you can see them shoeing horses, you can see them body clipping horses, you name it, they'll tell you about it. And it's a great thing for the family, you know, to go see, you know, at the Kentucky Horse Park. They got polo there. The polo is kind of like on the bottom end of the ticket, you know. They got some great polo there here in the next month, and it's really good to go watch. You know, but like I said, there's other events that are, you know, they're highlighting that are taking center stage. It's a Kentucky, on the 25th, with the Kentucky 3-day event starts there at the Kentucky Horse Park. We have Rolex Sunday at the Kentucky Horse Park. We got Rolex Friday. We got stadium jumping on Sunday. Then we have Rolex again on Saturday. Ground admissions cross country Saturday, April, this Saturday, April 20th. We got it there. I'm getting all wound up here just talking about this. Then had ground admissions again on Thursday, the 25th. Then we have the Grand Prix jumping on the 27th. The 26th, we have dressage. And let's see here. And on the 27th, we have the Rolex dressage again in the second round. Have ground admissions for the Rolex Cross Country, and then we have an Invitational Grand Prix on the 26th again, and you're good to go. So that's a whole week, you know, things to do there at the Rolex. You know, it's really great to see. It's good for the family to go to, you know, something that you can do. They got so many things there they got a nice gift shop. It's really a nice gift shop. You can get some nice shirts in there and everything. And then, now that we've done Lexington, we're going to get up towards Louisville, Kentucky for the Derby Week. Highlights for the Derby Week in Louisville is awesome. the amount of people that you see going to the different events that they have there this year. And I'm going to read to you a little bit about Thunder over Louisville. And it's really interesting, and you're going to be surprised at the end of this little statement I'm going to make here. The highlights for this the week or for the day on Thunder over Louisville, they have the Air Force Viper Demo and Heritage Flight Team. They have the Air Force C-17 Demo Team. They're going to be refueling big planes when they fly over. You're going to see how they do it, and I mean they're not real high in the air, but they're close enough where you can literally see them. You know, sometimes sitting in a cockpit, and it's a real low flyover that they do. You have the Navy Growler with Legacy Flight. You have the U.S. Air Force Wings of Blue, which is the Blue Angels. You have Matt Yonkin's Magic by Moonlight Performance. You have the Vintage Air Racer. You have Coast Guard Rescue Swimmer Demo Team. They do literally do a rescue out of the Ohio there, and that you can see how they operate the boats and you know, get up and down the river. They got numerous acrobatics routines and different airplanes where they're doing the loops and they're doing the smoke riding and it's just amazing. I don't know enough about, you know, airplanes to really give you the gist of it, but the thing of it is it's a spectacular event to go to, and it lasts a long time. It's like an all-day thing. I tell you, they got the one thing that I like is they got the appearance by the international partners like the Canadian team. They got the 18s and Germans FA-400 Grizzlies. Spectators will witness flybys from B-52 bombers, a flight of the Kentucky Air National Guard C-130s, numerous rotary aircrafts, including helicopters, infiltration and extraction demos accomplished by the Kentucky Army National Guard in the 123rd Special Tactic Unit. So what they do there is it's literally a military demonstration of what our country has and what other country has. And you get up close and in personal with it, and you'd be able to go out to the airport in Louisville and see them sitting on the ground and take a tour. And I mean, it's a great family thing. It's an all-day thing, you know, that is really, you know, just a sight to behold. You know, I'm telling you, it is. And then the Derby Festival itself is amazing. When they come through and they start talking about it, the first press release that they had on this year's Derby Festival was 311 days ago. 311 days ago. So they start really publicizing it and pushing it. And they do a great job there because, like I said, at the air show, they had 4 or 5 years ago, they had 850,000 people that attended the air show there in Louisville. They were on the banks of the Ohio on both sides of the river, Indiana and Kentucky. And it, just for miles and miles, you saw people. That's 850,000 people there. And only 4 porta pots. No, just kidding. But they have all the food. They got everything there that you need when you go take your lawn chairs out there, and you can sit down anywhere in downtown Louisville and watch the show. But that's a lot of people. On March 4th, 2024, the first day the Pegasus pins go on sale. The dates for many of the festival's signature events have been set. And when you get a Pegasus pin, you get a shot at getting a gold pin. And if you get a gold pin, you get your name thrown into the hat for a lot of prizes, different prizes, multiple prizes. And there's some real good prizes in there. But the block party starts on April the 13th. The Tour de Louisville is on Sunday, April the 14th, which all these dates have passed so far. Thunder over Louisville will be April 20th, which is tomorrow. So you're going to see in Louisville 500,000+ people in Louisville tomorrow. So it's going to be jam-packed. It's going to be something that you've never seen before. Then they have what they call Festival. It's down the waterfront. It's April 25th through May 3rd. And Festival is really nice. They've got all kinds of booths. They got food. You name it, they got it down there. And if you want to get a good souvenir from the city of Louisville and state of Kentucky, that's the place to go because they got everything there. You know, it's free admission to get in. That's April 25th through May 3rd. Then on April 2nd, which they, you know, like I said, some of these have already passed, they had the Great Balloon Festival. And they get hot air balloons from all over the world come there, and it's 30-plus balloons that they get, and they have glowing. They have a balloon glow the night before at nighttime, and you see all the balloons light up, and they got different colored lights in them, and they play music that's all computerized, and they have a show there. That was on April the 2nd. Now, on April 27th, a week from this Saturday, they will have another balloon fest there. They also have on that day a mini marathon for Louisville, for the Derby Festival. And then on Sunday, April 28th, they've got the Pegasus Parade. And that's something else that it's crazy. They've got what they call bed races, where you take a bed, that's put four wheels on it, put a mattress on it, make the bed up with pillows. You put somebody in the bed like they're sleeping, and then you got four people that push the beds down the Broadway in Louisville, and they have a bed race. And what's really cool about it, it's like Jewish Hospital will get somebody, Ford Motor Company will have a bed in the race, UPS, FedEx, everybody, you know, they get all kinds of sponsors for it. And it's really hilarious to see four people pushing, you know, people down the road in a bed. And a lot of the beds have celebrities in them. And you know, it's just really, it's really good to see. You know, it's a good family entertainment on there. So they do that on April 28th. And then on May 1st, Wednesday, May 1st, one of the things that I always really did like, we went to it ever since we were little kids, it's the Great Steamboat Race. And they pit like the Belle of Louisville against the Cincinnati Belle, and they're two steamboat races, and they go up the river a couple of miles and turn around, and then they come back and go underneath the Second Street Bridge. And it's really cool because both boats allow passengers to come on. They can ride on the boats during the race, and they're two old fashioned paddle wheel boats, like it used to be back in the day, as they say. And it's really entertaining, you know, to go see to see what they're doing. And you know, I always like to get involved in the festivals and everything that especially around the horse end of it. It's a good thing to do. It's good family stuff, and it beats the monotony. And I don't mean the horse business is monotony. It's not. It's 7 days a week, 24/7. But it's kind of nice when you go to a place like Louisville or Baltimore for the Preakness, or New York for the Belmont, when you got things to do the week prior to your running. You kind of let the tension out. You know, it kind of relaxes you a little bit, and you can get off focus and do your thing there with them. So that's what I like about that. But what I do say for the state of Kentucky, city of Louisville and Lexington, they all coordinate everything together, like the Rolex, the Polo, the different things they do. And then here this past week, they've had the two-year-old training sales at Keeneland. And what that two-year-old training sale is where they take two-year-olds that are getting ready to race this year, and potentially good Derby horses next year. But what they do is they're trying to get them ready for racing. And they have what they call an in-training sale at Keeneland all week long. And you go out and you can watch them, and it's free to go to. You go out and you see them. They run 3/8 of a mile for time. And you see how they do, how they run, how they act, you know, for potential buyers. It's really a good thing to do. And you do that all week long. And then at the end of the week, after everything, everybody has worked, on Friday, April 26th, you have the April Horses of Racing Age sale will be held Friday, April 26th, after the races close on the last day of the meet at Keeneland. So that's really good. And when I say horses of racing age, that means two-year-olds in training plus horses that have been racing that they want to put up for sale. And so they put them in the sale, and they do that. So literally, you could literally go in to the sale on Friday, and you could buy, you know, a horse out of that sale that was older, 2 years or older, and you could literally be running at Churchill Downs Derby week. You can enter that week. That's the way these sales operate, and it's really good. It's kind of unique, you know, to do that. But when in that sales, those horses will be ready to run, you know, when they come out of that sale. And then, speaking of Churchill Downs, the Derby Museum, again, is to outdone itself. The new grounds at Churchill Downs is just unbelievable. It looks like something out of Europe and out of Asia. They've got the new paddock. They've got the new seating and grandstands, box seats. You name it, they've got it there. And it's nice to go over to Churchill Downs and see all the new things that they're doing. That's coming, you know, for the future. But they're ready to go. It's going to be a great Derby this year, completely different than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago and everything. So it's modernized, and it's really a good place. And again, I keep emphasizing, it's a great place to take the family to. They've got the Derby Museum that they'll tell you any and everything about Churchill Downs, the Derby horses. They'll even tell you about me when I was in the racing end of it as an employee. I was very fortunate. I was in 17 Kentucky Derbies. The people that I was around won 5 of them. So, you know, I've been there and done that, and I really enjoy it. And that's why we're trying to do here at International Equine Network is to get people, you know, to come out to the horse business and see what's here, you know, like show horses or racing or, you know, trail riding, that type of thing. If you Google in your area equine events or horses, it'll tell you what all you have around you. And you'd be surprised, you know, what all you can find out around you, places that you can go and do and see. And it's really a good thing to do, you know. And we're trying to expand the horse business. The horse business has a tremendous economic impact on each state. It's billions of dollars that they bring into the state. Thousands of people come in to work with the horses and buy horses and sell horses. And you got to remember one thing, that the equestrian industry affects every community. And I mean, when I say affects them, I mean it does. They're the ones that shop at go to Burger King. They eat Kentucky Fried Chicken. They go to Walmart, Target. They go to the doctor, the dentist, the grocery stores, the car dealers, the movies. You know, there's nothing. There's not a business that they don't touch when the horse people are in town. And that's why it's important, you know, to get out and support all the equine industry that's in your area. You know, it really is important, you know, to keep these people going. But and speaking of the Derby Museum, they have things there at Churchill, like they got Dawn at the Downs, which you'll see every morning starting tomorrow on IENTV.org. You can watch that. It's all live. You see the Derby horses that are training. You get commentary about the horses that are running, who they think's going to win. You get to see all that. And then the other thing they have at Churchill in the morning is called Breakfast at the Downs. And people can go over there all this week, and you can, for a nominal fee, you can buy a breakfast. You get sausage and biscuits, coffee, hash browns, you name it, they'll have it there. And you can walk right up to the rail, and you can see the horses training. You'll be there in person. You couldn't get any closer to them than you can when you go to Donna, you know, Breakfast at the Downs. There, the kids can get a pet ponies. The outriders come in and they lead them over to the rail, and the kids get to pet the ponies and have their picture taken. And, you know, it's just really a great thing to do. You can kind of see what goes through, you know, a horseman's day. You get out there and it's early in the morning until about 10:30. They've got training going. Like I said, you see all the Derby, all the Kentucky Oaks horses training. They tell you who's on track. They show it on the big Jumbotron. Just everything there. And you can walk around the stands and you can see the different seating there, what the Derby's going to look like from the different seating. And, you know, just kind of educate yourself on, you know, what's going on there. And that's very important, you know, to get support, you know, Churchill and the community. And the Derby Museum this year, and which he's a tremendous equestrian, is Dwayne Lucas. Dwayne Lucas, to give you an idea of how important people are to the industry, every time he runs a horse, he will select a family or a kid from the crowd. And if his horse wins the race, then you get to go and get in the winner's circle with Dwayne Lucas and the horse that wins the race. And he's been doing that for a long time. And I'm telling you, when you do things like that, you know, that really helps the business. And Dwayne Lucas is one of the best trainers ever to live, but he's even a better person. That's the kind of guy he is. The 150th tribute dinner of the Kentucky Derby this year. It's the 150th year of the race. They have a big birthday dinner in April, or had it April 11th. It took place at the Kentucky Derby Museum. And Dwayne Lucas, a titan in the world of horse racing, has left an incredible mark on the sport with an illustrious career spanning decades. Lucas has achieved remarkable success, including 4 Kentucky Derby wins. He had 6 Grand Preakness wins, and the Belmont wins, 4 Belmont wins he had were just unbelievable. I mean, he's done it all. You know, he's just done it all. But this was the first year for the Lifetime Achievement Award that'll be given out every year, and Dwayne was the first one to get it. He shared appreciation saying, "I'm deeply honored to receive the Kentucky Derby Museum Lifetime Achievement Award throughout my career. I've had a privilege of working with incredible horses, talented individuals, and looking back, I get the greatest satisfaction from seeing the young people that come out to, you know, to the races." And so that's why he gets the kids, you know, in there to you know, get them going, get them interested in it, you know, and Wayne is like that. He doesn't care where you come from, who you are. He doesn't care about any of that stuff. All he cares about is the people. And, you know, it's kind of interesting in the thoroughbred industry in particular. We're very fortunate. We don't have a lot of racism. We don't have a lot of angry people. We don't have people protesting. We don't have things like that in the thoroughbred industry because we're all one people. You know, we're not black, white, Asian, Mexican. We're all one people. We're thoroughbred people. And that's what makes us so successful. We can get out and treat people the same, do the same, and we're all friends. We're a family. We're a big family. And horse people are family people. And I know, and I've worked with people that when I first started working in the business, I went to a lot of their weddings. You know, I went to a lot of the people we had working with us. They had their children, and now their children are having children. And they've all worked pretty much, you know, in the same area, same trainer, same farm, same whatever. You know, and it's all family, and it's important that we support that industry when we get out there. So, you know, he's the first recipient of a Lifetime Achievement Award. And, you know, it's something that's good. You can, you know, you could have gone and seen it. And it's really good. And then speaking of support, on my website, we have a company called Hallway Feeds. They became a sponsor of the Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association. So Hallway Feeds is going to be taking a strong support in the Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association, which has a rich tradition and commitment to the thoroughbred industry. Team Hallway Feeds is proud to serve as a partner to those involved in the thoroughbred industry, from supplying feed to the stallions and mares on the farms, playing a role in the development of young growing horses and preparing horses for sale, horses in training and racing, and careers after racing. Hallway Feeds Director of Sales and Marketing, Anthony H. Cook, is the only natural that we support the Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association in their mission to improve the sport. And they're really good at what they do with the sport, because like I said before, you could be feeding a horse here in Churchill Downs and then go to California or go to Florida or New York or Canada, and you can get that same bag of feed delivered to you at the track that you're getting at Churchill Downs. So your horse never comes off the feed. It's always got the same feed every day, you know, and that's very important. And they can do that not only domestic but international. And what I like about Hallway Feeds is when you call Hallway Feeds, they have personnel there can answer any question that you might need about feeding your horse. You might say, for example, you know, my horse is getting older. We're going to turn the horse out to pasture, retire the horse. You know, what kind of feed should we have it on? And they'll tell you. They'll analyze the situation, and they'll tell you. You might have a two-year-old in training, and you go to them and say, hey, look, you know, this two-year-old that I got in training said he's growing by leaps and bounds. What kind of feed should we, you know, feed him? And they'll tell you. You know, that when to back off feed, when to add feed, when to change feed. You know, they do that whenever your horse is racing. Well, like say, for example, the last 2 months for the getting ready for the Kentucky Derby is very stressful, and you're racing two or three times, you know, over a short period of time, and you got to make sure that they stay on their feed and they're getting the right feed to supply them with the nutrients and the vitamins that they need. You know, in Hallway Feed, they're an expert on it. I tell you what, you can't go anywhere on any track, any showgrounds, any farm without seeing a bag of Hallway Feed somewhere. And that's very important to our industry, because consistency is very, very important to what we do here, because horses are creatures of habit. They're used to doing the same thing day in and day out. And if you get off that schedule just a little bit, whether it's feeding or watering or taking them to the track to race or turning them out to pasture, if you're not there on time, man, they are wicked. They can get really upset, and that can ruin your whole training program, you know, with them. So that's why things like that are important that you do. The Kentucky Derby is a unique program that has been developed over the last 150 years. It's been tweaked a lot of times. The distance was changed at one time, but they've always had the Derby. And they were trying to figure it out a few years back about how many horses you can get in the Derby. Well, for a long time, they took the top up to 20 horses for the Derby that had the most money earnings. And so that was an interesting, you know, way to get your Derby runners. But then they started realizing that just because you earned a lot of money didn't mean you were a real good horse that could run in a Kentucky Derby. So they tweaked it a little bit. They wanted to get their Derby where they could draw the best horses in the world. And a lot of times when you've got racing, you get some racetracks that will have what they call an invitation. And that invitational is an invite only. They'll go out and, like say, for example, the Pegasus down at Gulfstream, one of the best races in the world. They invite horses from all over the world. And you get 20 of the top horses in the world that are going to run at that distance. And they're invited over. And you know, it makes for great racing. You know, you can see the best of the best. Well, they couldn't do that with the Kentucky Derby, because, you know, there was a lot of different things. So what they decided to do to make an even playing field for everybody is they started a point system. You had to earn points to get into the starting gate for the Kentucky Derby. And so what they did is they got together with a lot of the key tracks across the country. You know, they got in there and they got like with Oakland Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas, Santa Anita in California. They got with Keeneland. They got with Churchill Downs, Belmont Park. You name it, they were all there. Florida, Tampa Bay in Florida, Gulfstream in Florida. They got with all the tracks, and they developed a point system. If you won, like, say, the Arkansas Derby, you get X number of points, you know, to be poured towards your Kentucky Derby. If you got to the Florida Derby, Louisiana Derby, you know, you all got points. And so then when they really evaluated the situation, they said, you know, this is what we need to do. We need to have smaller races to add to the Derby points. So what they did is they went in, we'll take, like, say, for example, Hot Springs, Arkansas. They've got three races there that earn Derby points, and those three races are spread out over a number of days and weeks and months so that they could run in that series that leads up to their big race of the, you know, of the meet. Like, say, the Arkansas Derby, there's, you know, two or three prep races that you can run. And then when you get to the Arkansas Derby, you know, you're at the top of the heat. And by that time, you know, all you got to do is wait the, you know, the 3 or 4 weeks to get to the Kentucky Derby. So they did it at all the tracks. And it's really great because it gives drawing power to get the public in to watch racing at the different tracks. You know, you can you advertise, you know, come out to Oakland Park at Hot Springs. Today we have the Oakland Kentucky Derby prep race, the Southwest Stakes, and it draws people in, you know, and then hopefully they come back for the Arkansas Derby, and then they go on, you know, to watch the Kentucky Derby. So all the tracks do that now. And so now, this time and point, we're at a place where we have 20 horses that will run in the Kentucky Derby. And it's an amazing series. Gives people something to look forward to. You're going to see over 150,000 people, you know, there at Churchill. You know, it's really a good thing, you know, to come and see. So that's what, you know, we're talking about now. And like I said, when they started the Derby prep season, they came in and they would get, you know, X number of points. There's 37 races. There's 37 races with 22 races that are Kentucky Derby prep season. 15 races for the Kentucky Derby Championship. So in a series of races, you have 37 races to get you on the road to the Kentucky Derby. You got 22 races for the Kentucky Derby prep season, and then you got 15 races for the Kentucky Derby Championship. And when you get to those 15 races, usually, you know, at the end of the day, those are the 20, there'll be 20 horses out of there ready for the starting gate at Churchill now. And I mean, like I said, we've covered it all. The point system actually covers all of the United States. It covers all of Asia and Europe. So, you know, they're trying to draw people from all over the world, you know, to get it. It's not like an invitational, but it's races that allow you to be eligible for the Kentucky Derby. And that's a big difference between an invitational and the point system that we have trying to get there, how they get there. Right now, we got what we call the Derby Dozen. Now, over the year, when I go through and we start talking about Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Derby, the first prep race starts in September, in the middle of September, at Kentucky, at Churchill Downs. It's called the Iroquois State. And hopefully, I own a little piece of a horse called Incredible, and he's trained by Steve Asmussen. and hopefully Incredible will be able to race in that race in September. He's doing good in training now, and he'll get on the road to the 2025 Kentucky Derby. But that's the way you know, the point system starts. It starts there at Churchill, and then they move to Keeneland, and then, you know, they move to the other tracks, and there's a series of races that lead all the way up until, you know, the 1st of April, when we get to know who the Derby Dozen are. Now, what I do is I don't really put a lot of stock in the Derby Dozen. And I'll tell you why. It's the greatest thing in the world. It's created by Byron King at the Blood Horse. And the reason I don't say I put a lot of stock into it, because it changes every week, from week to week to week. You have horses that get hurt. You have horses that get sick. You have horses that just aren't going to be able to run competitively at that level. You know, so it's kind of changes. And that's what I like about Byron King Derby Dozen. He doesn't pull any punches. I tell you what, when he comes out on those 12, you know, he tells you, and at that day and point when they come out, those are the best 12 horses in the country. Now, that could change altogether the next week when the Derby doesn't come out, you know, but that's why he does that. He enlightens you. He gives you the information that you need to know, that you can start making notes and saying, well, you know, week three of the Derby dozen, you know, this horse was on top of the list, and then you know, week five he was in the middle of the list, and week six, you know, week 10 or 12, you know, he was out of the Derby dozen. And so it keeps you up to date. You know, it's kind of like a condensed form of, you know, who's going to win, you know, today. I like it, and you can keep a real good record of it. Following him every week, you go to the Blood Horse. .com, and you can get the Derby Dozen, Byron King's Derby Dozen in there. So this week, which I was glad to see, Fierceness, the Todd Butcher trained horse that stables at our Palm Beach Downs training facility in Delray. Todd's there all winter long, and he's had a lot of good horses come out there. He had Super Saver that won the Derby. He had Always Dreaming that won the Derby. And so we've had our good share of you know, big-time horses. And Todd has pretty much the whole farm there. 126 horses are there. Posting his first workout since capturing the March 30th Florida Derby by a record 13.5 lengths, Fierceness was sharp in an April 12 joint drill with graded stakes winning turf horse and grade 3 placed dirt runner Agate at Palm Beach Downs in South Florida. Perched outside on the right, that rivaled under regular jockey Johnny Velasquez, Fierceness finished a neck in front ahead a half a mile in 50-2. Before galloping out about a length in front. With the gate, Road was urged along. Velasquez was always motionless, less enthusiastically, and at least those who like the judge horses by the quality of the competition, they kept Hades fifth beaten in the Florida Derby. Well, what I like about this, I know I kind of probably really confused you on reading that. I got book learning, but not that much. But what it was is Todd likes to work horses together like that. And the unique thing about Palm Beach Downs, it's a beautiful track. I tell you, it's just unbelievable. If you come down here to Delray, come to Sunshine Meadows, look me up and I'll take you over, and you can visit all the horses and see all the horses through the wintertime. There's nothing, we don't have any horses there in the summertime. They all go north. But no, what I was saying about it, Palm Beach Downs, it's a track. Brandon Mills is the general manager of that farm and two other farms we have. But Brandon has that track down to a science. Last year, Todd brought all his horses down here for the winter, and he ended up making $33 million in purse money. And a good portion of that training was done at Palm Beach Downs. And that's why he likes prepping there for the Kentucky Derby. The track's good. When Todd works the horses, he'll work like two at a time. The track's just the right length, just the right width, and it's really controlled so the horses are focused, you know, on the training. And so Fierce's had a fantastic, you know, work. So did a gate on some of these other horses that Todd's going up to Keeneland and Churchill with. A lot of young horses, you know, are training there. And so those horses will be going up next week to Churchill for the Derby and for all the other races, stake races that are there. And so getting back to Palm Beach Downs, it's very key that you stay consistent with what you do. And at Churchill Downs, it's very important that you stay consistent on everything that you do, from feeding to walking to training, you know, before you get to Churchill. Because when you get to Churchill, it's different. There's a crowd. There's a lot of things that go into it and everything. So all Todd's horses are doing good here. You know, everybody's pleased with what's going on with them. And so, but Fierceness might be the top for the Derby Dozen. And in fact, Fierceness was at the top for the Derby Dozen this past week. I tell you, it's going to be interesting this year. The number two horse is Sierra Leon. He's a great horse. He's trained by Chad Brown. Chad Brown can get a horse ready. I've seen Chad Brown get horses ready where he go to a racetrack like Saratoga and win four or five in a day. You know, see what he's like. That's Sierra Leon is good. I tell you, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens with him when he gets up there. Then we number three on the list, we've got Forever Young. And we're not going to try to say the trainer's name, but I think it's Yagati. This is a Japanese horse. And, you know, the Japanese are getting so close to winning the Kentucky Derby. Their training style in Japan was completely different than it was here in the United States. One of the things that they did, they went counterclockwise, you know, from what we do. So I'm sitting there thinking, you know, like, you know, this is all different, you know, for them. So now they train like they do in the USA, and they're getting very, very close. This year might be their year. They got Forever Young, good horse. He struggled in the UAE Derby. But, you know, he was coming on. He's doing good. He arrived at Churchill Downs late last week, has already taken a few spins beneath the Twin Spires, giving him about 3 weeks of on-track preparation for the Kentucky Derby. Now, this is one of the things that's interesting. You can do what they call shock a horse. And that means that when you shock a horse, you take them and you bring them in right before the Derby, 3 or 4 days before the Derby. You know, they get a day or two on the track. You know, it's all new to them. Just boom, 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 you know, and they got to deal with it. But a lot of times when you bring a horse in from outside Churchill Downs, from across the country or from Europe or from Asia, you know, that type of thing, what happens is their body is slowly starts acclimating to, you know, the Churchill Downs area, the rain, the humidity, the track, the feed. If you're not on hallway feed, then that's a big thing. But, you know, the feed, the water, you know, the daylight, the people, the customs of Churchill Downs, completely different from where they come from. And when they do that, their body kind of gets on a roller coaster and starts, you know, acclimating to, you know, the humidity here and you know, the weather and you know, just everything. The hours of daylight, you know, is a big effect on horses. And so that makes a big difference from foreign horses coming over. So the Japanese brought him in 3 weeks before. So, you know, we're going to see how it does. It might work and it might not. Next year, if they get be in the same situation, they might come over just 5 days before. You know, they might do that. But that horse is, I mean, I'm telling you, he's a really good horse. He reminds me of a horse that that we had years ago. His name was Arazi. And Arazi was a loose cannon. I tell you what, when he came out of the gate, he down to the rail. He's in the middle of the pack. He was on the outside rail. I mean, he was all over. And we've had a few horses like that. Mr. Frisky, he was a horse like that from Puerto Rico. And, you know, he was a great horse, you know, but it just mattered. But the time change and the weather change wasn't that bad for, you know, for those horses. Now, this is a horse that I think is really a horse that he's on an up and down. Don't know what horse is going to show up. His name's called Catching Freedom. He's trained by Brad Cox. He's a real good trainer, Brad Cox is. He deserves everything that he can get. He's a hard worker, clean cut barn, first class all the way. This horse is bred by Windstar Farm. He's by Pioneer of the Nile. Good horse. Really good horse. The Smarting Jones Stakes in Louisiana Derby winner is not a horse that excels in the mornings. This is what's scary about some horses. Some of these horses get out in the morning, they just go through the paces, you know, just to get out, get it done, and get back to the stall. You know, that's what they want to do. But then the adrenaline pumps in when they get in the afternoon and they're walking over to the paddock. They hear the crowd. They see all the people. And, you know, that really gets them going like it did for him in the Smarting Jones and Louisiana Derby. You know, but if you see him the next morning, you go, gee whiz, you know, you know, he's not excited. He's just there, you know. So, but you don't know what's going to happen. You know, you just don't know what's going to happen. And that's the thing you got to look at. To see what happens to those type of horses. And that's what I like about the Derby does. You know, Byron King tells you all these things. He's out there looking at them, seeing what all is going on. We got Mystic Dan. This guy's a real sleeper. You know, he's a real, don't know much about him. He's kind of one of those horses that just blends in. You don't really notice anything spectacular about him. You don't really, you know, nobody talks about him. So that's what's interesting about this horse. He's a good horse trained by Kenny McPeak. The horse is going to be fit and ready. Tell you what, Kenny McPeak never takes a horse to the paddock that he don't think he can win with. And that's what I like about him. If you got a horse that you want to run in a Kentucky Derby, and if he's not good, Kenny's going to tell you. But Kenny's going to put them where they can win, that's for sure. That's what I like about him. And but that the Mystic Dan, he's just kind of a horse that, you know, there, you know, and we don't know what kicks him and what'll kick him in to get him aggressive, you know, what makes him want to win. That's the tough part there. Now, this is my long shot. This is my long shot. It's the name of the horse is Honor Marie. It's an honor code horse. And honor codes can get the distance. I mean, I'm telling you, he's good. Michael Eisman got this horse, and he likes it. He really likes it. And I'm telling you, this horse got the eye when he running. You can see he's got the eye. He's excited, you know, and he's had a lot of bad luck here and there, and you know, in a 20 horse field, you just don't know what's going to happen. But he's like, he's excited. Like, did I do good? You know, when he gets done, you know, that's what he's looking at. And so, I'm excited about that. He's been at Churchill for a while, and this is a horse that everybody's tried to talk about his name. It's Door Knock, Dornoch. And it's been, some announcers have called it Dornich and Dornoch and, you know, all kinds of things. But this horse, I tell you, I think he's a lot of flash and no cash. I just don't think he's the horse there. Everybody's liked him. They jump on him. They say, oh, Dornoch's running, Dornoch's running. And I tell you, I just don't know about him. I think that he's going to be, you know, a little better. He might be the kind of horse that could win a Preakness, a shorter distance, smaller field. You know, he might be able to do that, see what happens with him. You know, I said, oh, no. And then I tell you, this horse reminds me a lot back in the day for D-Wayne. He had winning colors. This horse is named Just Steel, J-U-S-T-S-T-E-E-L. This horse is really a good horse. You know, I'm telling you, D-Wayne's sitting back with this one. And this is the kind of horse like when Winning Colors won the Derby. He told the jockey, he says, go as far as you can, for as long as you can, as fast as you can, and maybe we can win. And I think that's what's going to happen with this horse. I think D-Wayne's sitting right on top of it. I think this is what's going to happen with this horse. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this one goes. If he don't win the Derby, then I'm telling you, he'll win the Preakness. That's for sure. That's for sure. And then, you know, that's pretty much it, you know, for the Derby 12. We got Stronghold, which is he's an okay horse. He's not real educated or real experienced. He's from out west. Then we have another Chad Brown horse, Domestic Product. He was a late finisher. He closes. You know, it depends on the trip that he gets for the Derby, you know, to see what happens with that. You know, with it. But all in all, you know, I'm telling you that the Derby this year is wide open. It's wide open. This is the kind of thing that's going to happen. You know, well, I'll give you a good example. We got the Derby draw that we're going to be having here next week for Post Position. We'll have it live on intv.org. And then, of course, we'll have all the results on, you know, International Equine Report. But this is the problem in Churchill. If you get the rail, then everybody is coming down on top of you when you break from the great gate. If you get the outside post positions, then, you know, you got a lot of ground to catch up to get, you know, to get up front. If you're in the middle, you don't know which way they're going, who's going to be bumping and, you know, banging into each other and up and down, you know, the track. And you got to run down that stretch the first time in a pack of horses. And like the old timers say, the first time you run down the track, that's your horse. The second time you come around that turn to finish the race, that's the stallion and the mare. So that plays a lot of part of it. And then when you get to the head of the stretch, there's some, you know, positioning and banging and bumping and trying to get, you know, to get to the wire. But the two tough spots, I believe, is the inside 1, 2, and 3 post, and then the outside, the 18 and 19 and 20 post. Because you got a lot of decisions to make out there. You got a lot of places to go. And the bad part about it is when you come out of that gate and the outer post, the thing that you got to remember is once they get ahead of you, you got to catch up with them. So when you come out of the gate, do you go with them or do you try to catch them? That's always the hardest thing to do. And you got to remember when you're watching horse racing and you see that horse, you know, up front just running like there's no tomorrow. And then all of a sudden he starts backing up. And it looks like all the other horses are running faster than he is. But no, he's the first one to get tired. And the other horses aren't as tired as he is. So they're not really running faster than he is. You know, he's just backing up to them. And so that's what the most important thing is coming out of that gate. You got to realize how you're going to race the horse. You know, so we got a lot more to talk about. you know, the Derby and everything. And I get my new medication in next week, and I might be a little more non-confusing and, you know, try to get you guys to listen a little bit to what we're doing. But it's going to be exciting the next week. We've got a lot of things going on the website. Have a lot of things going on next week. Didn't have any call-in people this week, which is good. And if I don't have any listeners, then it means I don't have anybody to criticize me, so I can feel good about it. Somebody might call in and criticize me or something, and gee whiz, I'd feel bad for the rest of the night. I said I'd be kicking the cat out the door for sure, you know. But the whole long and short of it is, folks, is that the horse industry is one of the greatest industries that we have in this country. It's something that everybody can participate in at every economic and social level. You know, all it takes is, you know, just a trip out to the showgrounds, you know, a trip down to Keeneland, and you can watch the horse sales live. They had some million-dollar horses sell today. You know, you can go out there and you can watch it. You get a book that says Keeneland on it, and that's a sales book, and they're free. You get to keep it with you. You can take it home, you know. You could pick horses out and say, you know, you don't have to know much about horses. You can get together with your family and say, okay, everybody, hip number 436. What do you think it's going to sell for? You know, one of your family members might say $1,000. One might say $10,000. And another one might say $1,000,000. And a horse sells for $500,000. But you can get up close and get in person, you know, right there. You can walk right into the sales pavilion. You can sit down. You can watch the auction. You can hear the hammer hit the wood and say, sold. And you can check all that out on my website at The Wire, at is Racing. Last Call is Sales. And you can see all of it. But, you know, again, like I said, you know, just Google in your area equestrian events or horses, and the Google will throw it back at you what you're, you know, what you're got there and where you can go and what you can do. And you can take the family to do it. And so, you know, that'll be good. And so I appreciate all the time that you guys have afforded me. BBS is the greatest radio TV station in the world. You go to bbsradio.com, and, man, you see everything on there. They talk about it and everything on there, but they don't talk about my show. That hurts. No, but really, it's a good station. And again, it's like BBS is like IEN is with the equine industry. They cover everything. And that's what life is all about. You know, whenever you do something, make sure you cover everybody and you don't alienate anybody. And, you know, you just go for it. So if you need to know anything about the horse industry, go to IENEquineTV@gmail.com. Or you can call me at 561-466-1272, and I'll answer all your questions. Well, folks, that's it for us today. We're out of the gate and at the finish line, so we'll talk to you next week.